Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Great to be here.
You know, I need you to just take a second and actually look at the calendar today.
All right.
It's Friday, February 7th, 2026.
Right.
And the reason I'm harping on the date is that I'm looking at this stack of reports from Tick and Game this morning, and I genuinely feel like we've crossed some kind of invisible line.
I know exactly what you mean, that feeling where the sci-fi future always feels like it's, 20 years away.
Yes, exactly. And looking at today's news, well, one day is basically this morning. We're not talking about incremental updates anymore. It feels like the dam broke.
It really does. I mean, this is one of those rare news cycles where the headlines aren't just this new phone is 5% faster. We are seeing these fundamental shifts
In what, though?
in the physics of how we compute, how we break down language barriers, even in who or what is cooking our breakfast.
It's a lot to process. We've got AMD's new architecture in the engine room. We have leaks about the PlayStation 6 basically reading your mind, which, by the way, terrifies me.
Oh, we have to get into that.
And a robot that can feel texture. But, and there's a huge but hanging over all of this.
The financial reality check.
Right, it's this really weird dissonance. While all this tech is soaring to these sci-fi heights, the markets are just flashing red. There was a massive crypto shock this morning.
Which kind of puts a damper on the whole techno-utopia vibe. It's a classic collision
A collision of what?
of unbridled technological optimism running headfirst into a pretty grim financial reality. The economy doesn't always care how cool your robot is.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We need to connect these dots. We're going to look at the silicon powering this future, the robots living in it, and, well, the economy that's trying to survive it.
This is the tech landscape of 2026.
Yeah.
And to understand any of it, the robots, the AI, video, all of it, we really have to start in the basement, in the engine room.
Which brings us to the lead story from Tech in Game, AMD's Zen 6 announcement. Now, I'll be honest, usually when I see chip announcements, my eyes kind of glaze over.
Sure. It's a lot of numbers.
It's 10% better battery life, or slightly faster, but Lisa Su, AMD's CEO, is using the phrase generational leap. Is that just marketing fluff?
No.
Yeah.
No, this is the real deal. This isn't just an optimization. It's a physics breakthrough. This marks the official start of the 2-nanometer era.
2 nanometers. We hear these numbers all the time. 5 nanometer, 3 nanometer. Why is 2 nanometer such a big deal? Why should you care about a number that small?
Well, think of it this way. For the last few years, we've basically been hitting a wall.
With
Right.
physics.
We couldn't make the transistors much smaller without them getting way too hot or leaking energy. It's why your laptop sounds like a jet engine when you try to edit video.
Okay, that I understand.
Moving to 2 nanometers, which AMD is doing with TSMC, is an engineering marvel. It's like figuring out how to write the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy on a single grain of rice, and it's still perfectly legible.
So where's Intel in all this?
They're struggling. The report notes that Intel is still having yield issues with their 5-millimeter process. They're trying to catch up, but with this, AMD just lapped them.
Okay, so let's get into the stats. The report says a 40% improvement in single core performance. That's a huge jump for one generation.
It's massive.
Yeah.
We usually see, what, 10, maybe 15%?
Yeah.
A 40% jump is unheard of recently, but the real killer metric here is the 50% increase in power efficiency. And they did this using something called GAA.
Gate all around. Sounds like a security fence.
It's actually a great analogy. In the old chips, the ones in your phone right now, the transistor is like a garden hose on the ground. To stop the water, you just step on it.
Pinching it from one side. Right. Agreed.
Exactly. But as chips got smaller, the water pressure got too high and water started squirting out the sides. That's energy leakage. That's heat.
Okay.
Gate-all-around is like surrounding that hose completely with your hand. You squeeze from all sides 360 degrees, you get total control over the flow of electrons.
So less leakage means less heat.
Precisely. And that
Wow.
changes everything about the devices we use. The report mentions that for digital nomads, this is the holy grail. You can build these ultra-thin MacBook Air-style laptops that have the raw power of a thick workstation, but they don't thermal throttle. You won't burn your legs rendering a 16K video anymore.
That is a huge deal. But I saw a note here about Windows 13. Apparently, the hardware is so different that Microsoft has to rewrite the OS. That seems extreme.
It is, but it's necessary. They're calling it the 2026 edition. The idea is that these new chips have such deep AI integration, these dedicated NPUs or neural processing units.
The AI cores.
Yep. They handle trillions of operations. So Windows needs to be rewritten to specifically offload tasks to those AI cores. The OS isn't just running on the CPU anymore.
It's dancing between the CPU and this new AI brain.
Exactly. It analyzes what you're doing and decides, okay, the AI core handles this video call background blur, which frees up the main CPU for, you know, your spreadsheet.
And I've got to imagine this puts NVIDIA in a weird spot.
The pressure is definitely on. The report says NVIDIA is basically rushing their Blackwell S lineup just to match the bandwidth AMD is putting out. It's an arms race.
Yep. When the brain gets faster, the muscles have to get stronger.
That's a good way to put it.
Speaking of muscles, let's pivot to something that actually uses all this power, gaming. There were some massive leaks out of Sony's hardware lab about the PlayStation 6.
And this is where we really turn up the sci-fi dial.
The target release is November 2027, so we're still a ways out. The specs are impressive. Sure, 50 teraflops, native 8K. But I feel like we always talk about resolution. Look, more pixels.
It's diminishing returns at this point. I mean, pushing for 16K with upscaling is cool, but it's not the real game changer here.
Right. What freaked me out, and I mean that literally, is the controller, the Neuralink controller. Am I misreading this? It reads your muscles.
You are not misreading it. It's fascinating. A little unnerving. Sony is trying to solve for input latency.
Which is, what, a few milliseconds? It's tiny.
Right. But in competitive gaming, that matters. So this controller has bioelectrical sensors, basically localized EMG sensors, that detect the sub-millisecond muscle twitch in your finger before you actually press the plastic button.
Wait. So I'm thinking about shooting. My muscle tenses up and the game fires before I physically click the button.
Effectively, yes. It's predicting the movement.
Mm.
The goal is to reduce input latency to near zero by reading your intention.
I have to play devil's advocate. I drink a lot of coffee. I'm twitchy. Am I going to be accidentally throwing grenades in Call of Duty because my thumb spasmed?
That is the big engineering challenge. And the report mentions they're using AI filtering to distinguish between a nervous twitch and an intentional strike. But just imagine the immersion.
It's incredible, but also slightly invasive. It's touching me, reading my bio signals. That's a very intimate relationship with a piece of plastic.
It is intimate. But look at the other features they're working on. They're also addressing what you could call collector's anxiety.
Oh, with the glass disc.
Yes, we all worry about our digital libraries just vanishing one day. Sony is experimenting with quartz glass storage, 100 terabytes on a disc that can last for centuries. Permanent storage.
That's a very different philosophy from the subscription model everyone else is pushing. It's saying, no, you own this forever.
And you combine that with Instant Cloud, where you can stream a game instantly while it installs in the background. It's like they're building a simulation hub, not just a toy.
And what about the AI persona, the built-in coach?
Right. So the console watches you play.
Yeah.
If you're stuck on a boss, it doesn't just show you a text tip. The AI coach actually speaks to you. Hey, try dodging left next time. It's active guidance.
So I've got a console reading my muscles and an AI telling me I suck at Elden Ring.
Basically, yeah. A very personalized experience.
Let's move from gaming to communication. This next story from Meta. Honestly, this is the most Star Trek thing on the entire list for me.
WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Live voice translation.
Yeah. And we've had Google Translate for years. I can type things in. I can speak. And it speaks back in some robot voice. What makes this different?
Two words. Emotional fidelity.
Explain that.
Standard translation is just flat. Hello, how are you? It strips away the humanity. Meta's new seamless M4T model doesn't just translate the words. It actually clones your voice.
So if I'm yelling, the translation is yelling.
Yes. It preserves your pitch, your tone, your pauses, your emotional cadence. If you're whispering a secret to someone who speaks Arabic, the translation comes out in Arabic. But it is your voice whispering.
That is mind-blowing and a little uncanny.
It removes that emotional disconnect. Usually with a translator, you lose all the nuance. Is the person being sarcastic? Are they angry? This keeps all of that intact.
And the report says it handles over 50 languages right out of the gate.
English, Arabic, Persian, Spanish, a ton more. And for the privacy conscious, remember those NPUs we were talking about in the AMD chips?
The AI cores.
Exactly. All of this processing happens on device. Your voice data isn't being sent to Meta's cloud. It stays in your pocket.
Which is crucial. But they're also teasing something called contextual cultural nuance. It seemed really smart.
It's brilliant. It translates social norms, not just words. If you're talking to a Japanese business partner, the AI automatically shifts the translation to be more formal and polite.
But if you're talking to a friend in Brazil, it uses slang.
Exactly. It prevents you from being accidentally rude. It just removes the friction from expression.
And if you pair this with the update from OpenAI on Sora, you start to see a real pattern emerging.
100%.
So let's talk about Sora, the AI video generator. The Sora Pro 2026 API just dropped. I remember the early videos, people walking backwards, eating spaghetti like aliens.
The hallucination phase? That's largely over now. The report states the new version understands physics with 99% accuracy, fluid dynamics, light refraction collisions.
Fluid dynamics is notoriously hard, even for traditional CGI.
It is. But now, if you ask Sora to generate a glass of water spilling, the water moves like water. It doesn't move like jelly.
And what about character consistency? That was the other huge complaint.
Fixed. You can now lock a character model, which is massive for storytelling. It means independent creators can actually create narrative arcs, not just a bunch of random, cool-looking clips.
It really feels like the democratization of Hollywood.
It is. They even have a director mode. You can use voice commands to edit, make that car red, change the lighting to sunset. You're literally directing the AI.
So frictionless communication with WhatsApp and frictionless creation with Sora.
Precisely. The barriers to entry for everything are just evaporating.
But speaking of barriers, there was one barrier I thought would last a lot longer. The barrier of household chores.
Ah, the robot in the kitchen.
Tesla's Optimus Gen 3. Elon Musk showed this off, and I have to say, the demo was very impressive. It cooked a full breakfast.
All on its own. No person in a suit, no remote control. It cooked eggs, made coffee, cleared the table, and then loaded the dishwasher.
The phrase that jumped out at me in the report was tactile intelligence, because robots have always been clumsy, right? They crush things.
Right. Grasping an egg is an incredibly difficult engineering problem. You have to apply enough pressure to hold it, but not so much that you crack it.
So how does it do it?
Tactile intelligence means the robot has these high-density pressure sensors in his fingertips. It can literally feel the fragility of the object it's holding.
That's wild. And it's running on the same brain as the cars.
The FSD V15 neural net, yeah. It's just applying that same navigation logic to your kitchen counter in front of a highway.
No, the price. Under $20,000. That's expensive. But it's not millionaire expensive. That's the price of a decent used car.
Exactly. It positions it as a high-end appliance. And people are treating it like one. Or, actually, more like a pet.
Yeah, the report said the beta testers are naming them.
It's human nature. We bond with things that interact with us. But there was a very specific, slightly dark safety tip in the Tekken game report. Did you catch it?
I did. Use biometric locks on lethal kitchen appliances.
It sounds like a joke, but think about it. You don't want the robot, while it's still learning, to accidentally turn on the blender while your hand is in it.
Or leave the gas stove on.
Right. It's a reminder that these are powerful machines running on code, not people.
It's a strange duality. We're naming them Steve, but we're also making sure to lock up the knives.
Welcome to 2026.
So we have this picture of a utopia. Supercomputers, total creative freedom, robots doing the dishes. It sounds perfect.
Until you check your portfolio.
And that's the pivot, the financial reality. Today, February 7th, was a bloodbath for crypto.
A flash crash. Bitcoin dropped below $70,000. It's sitting around $68,120 as we speak. That's a huge drop in just a few hours.
What triggered it? Bitcoin has been doing pretty well. Why the sudden drop?
It was a perfect storm. Tekken Game points to three things. First, the SEC issued a warning about AI-driven crypto ETFs. That spooked the institutions.
Regulation is always the boogeyman.
Always. Second, inflation data from the EU came in hot, which kills the hope for interest rate cuts. And when rates stay high, risky assets like crypto suffer.
But the third one, the Satoshi era wallet, this is the one that fascinates me.
This is pure market psychology. A wallet that has not moved a single coin in over 10 years since the days of Satoshi Nakamoto suddenly woke up and moved 5,000 Bitcoin to an exchange.
Why does that cause such a panic? It's just one person selling their coins.
Because it signals a cash out from the ultimate OGs, the original insiders. When the oldest, most diehard holders start selling, the market sees that as a loss of faith.
It's like seeing the captain put on a life vest.
Exactly. Everyone else rushes for the exits because they think the captain knows something they don't.
That makes perfect sense. And there's a correlation here with the tech stocks too, right?
A huge one. The correlation is at an all-time high of 0.85. It means Bitcoin and the big AI stocks are moving in lockstep. They're both driven by the same liquidity, the same hype cycle.
So if the AI sector shakes, crypto shakes with it.
They're tied at the hip. If one catches a cold, the other gets the flu.
So what's the advice? What is Tekken Game telling people to do?
Basically, don't catch a falling knife. For day traders, they're saying sit on your hands. For long-term investors, they suggest a 60-40 split. 60% blue chip assets, 40% stablecoins. Cash is king.
And the support level to watch?
$65,000. If Bitcoin breaks below that, we could be looking at a much deeper, much darker correction.
So hold the line.
Hold the line.
It's just such a fascinating contrast to end on. We're in the 2-nanometer era of absolute precision with our hardware. Our robots can feel the difference between an eggshell and a rock.
Right.
But our financial systems, they're still driven by fear and rumors and ghosts from 10 years ago moving digital coins around.
That's the paradox of 2026, isn't it? The tools for creation have never been more powerful. We've conquered language barriers. We're conquering physical labor. But we're still incredibly vulnerable to the whims of the market.
It brings me back to that thought about the robots. We're inviting them into our homes, we're naming them, we're treating them like family. And with WhatsApp, AI can now speak with our voice, with our emotion.
It's blurring the line between a tool and a friend.
It really is. At what point does the machine stop being a tool and start being a companion? And if the markets crash, if we lose our jobs, but that robot is still there making coffee and offering sympathy in our own voice, are we emotionally ready for that relationship?
That is the question to the decade, and I really don't think we have the answer yet.
Something to chew on. As always, thank you for listening to this deep dive into the world of tomorrow today. See you next time.